Come to us now, Holy Spirit, and in your power, open your word to our lives, and our lives to your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, Paul is rarely less than blunt, is he? But, you have to pay attention to the buts in Paul. But our citizenship is in heaven. Paul looks around him and sees a contrast. It will not have escaped your notice because it's been the only item on the news that we are faced with a contrast at this time in our nation, and we have to choose one option or the other. Let's focus this morning not on that contrast, but on the contrast that Paul offers us. Although there might be connections, I'll leave you to work that out. Here's Paul's contrast. Some are enemies of the cross of Christ, but the Philippians he's writing to and their fellow Christians are citizens of heaven. Enemies and citizens. That might seem a slightly strange contrast to us, but perhaps it wasn't for Paul or for the Philippians. I think it actually made sense, this contrast, both for Paul, who was himself a Roman citizen, and for people in Philippi, which 80 or so years before Paul got there, had been rebuilt and refounded as a new city between the years 42 and 27 BC. A new city and a new home. A colony created for veterans of the Roman army who were given citizenship as a reward for their long service. It was citizens who had great rights in a Roman world where most people were actually slaves with no rights at all. It was citizenship that was the highly prized status, the most sought after status in the Roman Empire. It was citizenship that both recognized and guaranteed people's loyalty to the Roman state and the Roman emperor. Philippi was even given a new name to emphasize its status as a colony of citizens and its relationship to the Emperor Augustus. It was now not just Philippi, but Colonia Augusta Julia Philippensis, the emperor's name built into the name of the city. So for Paul and the Philippians, the opposite of an enemy is indeed a citizen. Of course, we wouldn't make the same contrast in such a neat way, would we? Ever since the emergence of domestic terrorism at the end of the 1960s, our problem has been that our enemy might indeed be a fellow citizen, someone living down our road who secretly so rejects the values that we place on citizenship, the values of our state, that they plan violence against it. So we might create another contrast. We might contrast enemies more naturally with friends. But if you apply that to what St. Paul is saying, that might create an even more stark contrast. Enemies of the cross of Christ or friends of the cross of Christ? Friends of the cross of Christ? Does that describe us? Too stark a description? Too difficult for us? Paul offers us a couple of clues as to what defines people who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Their God is the belly, these enemies of the cross of Christ. Belly may, in fact, be a polite translation. I told you Paul was blunt. Anyway, he means that enemies of the cross of Christ are people who live by what they consume, what they desire. And their minds are set on earthly things, says Paul. They are preoccupied with what they have and what is at their own level. Now, that's difficult for us to hear who live in a place and an age marked by the most conspicuous consumption in all history. Lent may be a time when we give up something, one thing we normally enjoy consuming, not just so that we can feel better for going without Laurent Perrier or whatever it is for 40 days, but to challenge our tendency to find our identity in what we consume across every part of our lives. Paul tells us that to live by what we consume is to court destruction and shame. Strong, blunt words indeed. But Paul also offers us some clues as to what it might mean to be a friend of the cross of Christ. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we're expecting a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends of the cross of Christ are people who find their identity not in what they consume on earth, but find their identity in heaven, in God himself, in other words. And they're people who recognize that they need a Saviour, and indeed have a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who transforms our present life through his death on the cross in the past and through his lordship of history in the future. Jesus himself had to go to the cross, as we read in our gospel. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, said Jesus, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jesus had to go to the cross, and he wants us to go with him, his friends, friends of his cross. Now, to explore all that Paul has to say about being friends of the cross of Christ would mean our studying not just Philippians, but also probably the whole of 2 Corinthians. And whilst that would be absolutely fascinating for all of us, there probably isn't time this morning. You might want to take up reading 2 Corinthians as another challenge for Lent. Lent takes us, of course, to the cross of Christ, to Holy Week and Good Friday. Every communion service takes us to the same place, to the cross of Christ. Every communion takes us there. Lent takes us there with Jesus, with the Christ who died for us. It takes us there as his friends, friends of his cross. So what might it mean for us to be friends of the cross of Christ in 2016 here in the southeast of England? What are we saying about ourselves in this Holy Communion today? What might it mean for the way we use Lent if we see it as an opportunity to cultivate a new friendship, friends of the cross of Christ? And how might that identity endure far beyond Lent, and indeed endure through the whole of our lives, lives lived as friends of the cross of Christ?